I want to bring Frank Saravelli, NHL insider and president of hockey content with dailyfaceoff.com in. And Frank, thanks for joining us. And I just said before the show, I think in the mind of most hockey observers, you probably had a better day than Ron Francis yesterday. But here's where I wanted to go with this, because I went back and looked at some of the stuff that was written about the Seattle Kraken going in. And you know, Ron Francis and his people, they really did telegraph that analytics were going to play an important part of the selection of this team. And it's almost like a lot of folks in the hockey world said, yeah, okay, but when it comes time to make a pick, they're going to pick the Carey Prices, the Tarasenkos. I mean, they're going to have to, because that's just how you go about and do it. Were you surprised how many people seemed to be caught off guard by the fact that the Kraken actually appeared to do what they said they were going to do?
He didn't pull punches at all. I mean, you're exactly right. And gentlemen, first, let me preface that by saying really nice to be with you. It is interesting. Like Saturday afternoon, you know, once, you know, these teams needed to submit their protection list, he said it full on. The most valuable thing in the NHL at this moment is cap speed. And the Seattle Kraken, they haven't leveraged it just yet, but they're about to, and it's going to be in trades. It's going to be in free agency. But I think more to the point, when you take a 30,000-foot view of the Kraken and how they build their team into a contender moving forward, it's really going to be next year when you think about the overall landscape in the NHL. There's a fresh $81.5 million pumped into the cap system that's been flat. And so this year, there's some flexibility there for teams, but guess where they're going to be squeezed? It's going to be next year again, when there's no new money to go around and the cap remains flat. The Kraken, to this point, have allowed themselves almost all the flexibility in the world to build their team and leverage the, you know, that as they see fit. So I think everyone's got an eye on the short term, and it's because of what the Vegas Golden Knights did coming in and being so successful out of the gate. But I think George McPhee and the Knights would tell you, you know, full on from their perspective, that team surprised the heck out of them. They entered the year thinking, here are the guys we can flip at the deadline. And then they got to December and they were like, damn, we're actually better than we thought. And they have now built themselves into a cup contender since then with different trades. But it's been fascinating and to see the reaction from Seattle following the draft, just from around the league and other teams also surprised by the selection.
What's Frank? What do you think? What is the Seattle team going to look like on opening night compared to, you know, like we've obviously seen the, you know, the results of the expansion draft, but as you said, there's a lot of moves. You know, that this is to position them to do other things. What, by the time we get to October, what do you think they're going to look like?
I'd say that out of the, whatever you want to call it, 15, 20 guys that we see on their roster at the exact moment, would be, you know, a little more than half of those guys are going to be in the lineup. I think they have a pretty solid foundation in terms of what they want to do. If you look at their top four defensemen at the moment, Giordano, Oleksiak, Larson, and Soucy, I'd say that's probably a pretty close representation. They may add, you know, more of a heavy hitter in terms of cap hit or impact. And then up front, you know, continue to fill out their roster via trades and free agency, probably add a center or two, a little bit more scoring punch in terms of goals. You know, I think they had some really positive conversations with free agents that were left unprotected. You know, I wonder, do they circle back to a guy like a Jaden Schwartz, for instance, from St. Louis? They took Vince Dunn. You know, the defenseman, is Schwartz a guy that you could come back to on July 28th and say, you know, we're in need of goals, you know, come to Seattle? So I think it's going to look somewhat different, but I think the foundational pieces, so to speak, you know, a lot of those bricks were laid last night in the expansion draft.
Frank, are you surprised by the term that it appears Zach Hyman will be getting? If, you know, if the reports about Edmonton are correct, are you surprised at the money in the term there?
Not really, because, you know, that's what Zach Hyman was kind of always going to get on the market. It's mm-hmm. been almost a foregone conclusion for months now. You know, this player that plays his role to such a T and had such an impact on the Toronto Maple Leafs, that this is sort of the neighborhood that he was going to be in. It was always going to be somewhere between 5 and 6 on a longer term deal. And part of the reason for that is because you know, Zach Hyman is so competitive. He scores the goals that he does, and is really able to kind of drag his teammates into the fight. But I'll tell you what's interesting, guys, is how the conversation about Zach Hyman changes. And this is really through no fault of his own. It's more just a comment on general fandom and how fans view players now in the salary cap world. Is Zach Hyman was revered in Toronto, not just for the way that he played, but also for the value that he provided to a team that had so many other cap issues with the star players that they had. And so the expectations now change for Zach Hyman wherever he goes and whatever he signs for, because, you know, instead of being the guaranteed sort of 20 goal guy that you can plug in, now it's like, is that really all we're getting for $6 million or whatever the conversation is? It's going to be interesting to see how that evolves, and I think you're already starting to see some of that reaction from Edmonton fans on social media saying, geez, that's a lot to pay for this guy in terms of what he brings to the lineup.
But that's the player, right? Like, whatever the, you know, the player doesn't change because of the price. And again, I know perception, how perception works, believe me, but the player doesn't change because of what you pay him. You know, it's that's who he is, correct?
Well, yeah, and look, you know, I think about that a lot when it comes to analyzing and evaluating some of the recent trades that, you know, the Leafs have made. Like, go back to Tyson Barry, or for instance, you know, it's all about expectations whenever any player comes in. It's what does this player provide, and how do we get the most out of that role? Like, when you trade for Tyson Barry and, you know, this noted power play specialist that goes to Edmonton after Toronto and leads all defensemen in scoring, but you're on Toronto and he doesn't start the season on your first power play, you're like, you're thinking to yourself, is this guy being used in the exact spot that he should be? And so, you know, going back to expectations moving forward with Zach Hyman, like, he needs to be used in the right spot and used in the right way.
Now that the expansion draft is done, is there a free agent out there that may get more than we all thought he would get, either in terms of length or dollars? Because, you know, it seems to me that, I mean, based on the Kraken's roster, there are obviously going to be some follow-up moves made here, and I'm sure there'll be a player in free agency. But did the ground change, do you think, for any free agent as a result of who was or wasn't picked by the Kraken?
Not necessarily a Kraken connection, but I watched the Barkley Goodrow signing with the New York Rangers, 6 times 3.65. And I can tell you that the only person happier than Barkley Goodrow in that moment was his line mate and teammate and 2-time champion, Blake Coleman. Like, for instance, it seems like if Barkley Goodrow is at 6 times 3.65, that Blake Coleman, for instance, is at 6 times 5. So, I think they're, you know, those two guys in particular were in real, real demand coming off of their cup win with the Lightning. And, you know, I would say that with a connection to Seattle, like, you probably got a sense pretty quickly from an early conversation that they had with a guy like Gabriel Landeskog, for instance, that they just were never really in the same ballpark. I think, you know, Gabriel Landeskog is in sort of the $8.5 million range, maybe even a little bit more than that. And the Colorado Avalanche, to my knowledge, are well below that. And they've had him there as their captain, obviously, for a while. So there's sort of that back and forth going on. And it's also interesting just in this flat cap world, how I was mentioning in the beginning of our conversation about how, you know, everything sort of changed in the financial landscape as this one moment in time, with Seattle's new money coming in and the additional flexibility that it's created. But GMs are harping, saying, look, agents are thinking this is pre-pandemic. Like, you know, it's going to be a free-for-all 3-, 4-, 5-year deals again. You know, GMs are trying to make sure that that doesn't happen, given that they know the impending crunch that's coming.
Frank, how do you think the Jack Eichel situation is going to get resolved?
Via trade? I mean, I try not to over, you know, sell or overestimate something, but I really believe it's close to a 0% chance that Jack Eichel remains in Buffalo. I just think that relationship has run its course. Anytime you get to the point where team and player are publicly squabbling over a medical situation, that probably is a pretty good indication of how far off the rails it's gone. And not to mention all the other turmoil that's existed in Buffalo. The thing is, with the ask from the Sabres, it's been so high, according to teams that have been in the mix, that I think teams either backed off a bit or were like, okay, good luck getting that somewhere. And I don't know if, you know, more teams have engaged in recent days. It seemed like that may be the case. You know, a team like Anaheim, for instance, I think they're really interested in, and have dug in again with Buffalo. But I think the Rangers are a team right there that makes so much sense in terms of having the ability to pay and also the interest. I wonder if a team like LA can be dragged back into the mix. You know, Buffalo was asking for their top prospects and they were thinking more middle shelf. So it's going to be fascinating to watch it unfold. I think the Sabres, you know, if to give them credit on one thing, they've done a pretty good job of keeping this their cards close to the vest on this one.